Good evening and welcome to St. Columba's on this Good Friday for our evening service. We follow the order of service as before you, which will proceed without announcement. I want to just say at the outset, on behalf of all of us here at St. Columba's, we want to convey our very grateful thanks to my good friend and colleague, the Reverend Brick Gilmore, along with members of the congregation of Knock Methodist Church, for your great support and for your faithfulness in coming along to St. Columba's night after night, and to say how much we in this parish have greatly valued and appreciated the warm welcome given to us as we have had the privilege of worshipping in Knock Methodist Church at lunchtime. These shared services have grown and developed year on year, and for that we give thanks to God. We also welcome visitors from the local community and from local churches. All of you are very, very welcome as together tonight we gather at the foot of the cross. When we come to the Tenebrae reading, the lights will be turned off apart from the lights in the porch. And as we come towards the end of the reading, there will be a very loud sound from the organ, which is very dramatic, part of the Tenebrae service itself, but just to make you aware, that will be coming. There will be a retiring collection this evening, as has been throughout all of these shared Holy Week services, for the work of Vision Aid overseas and for the larder, as we reflect on the sacrifices of Christ on the cross, so we give back something of what God has first given us to help those both overseas and in our own community who are very much in need. We observe now a moment's silence.
Lord, as thou art,
collect for Good Friday. Almighty Father, look with mercy on this your family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was content to be betrayed and given up into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who is alive and glorified with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and handed over his spirit. When Jesus said those words from the cross, he was saying so much more than his life and ministry were complete. His total obedience to his Father's will had been perfect unto death. It is finished. Christ has finished the work his Father gave him. Christ's revelation of his Father's saving love and purposes for us all was complete and would soon be revealed. Through Christ's perfect and all-sufficient sacrifice on the cross, sin is conquered, death is destroyed, we are redeemed, heaven is opened. On this Good Friday, we remember the profound expression of self-giving love, which is at the heart of the cross and the resurrection. In an art gallery, there was a marvelous picture of the crucifixion. People came to look at it, but they would quickly walk away from it. But one day, an old man came in and he stood for hours in front of this marvelous painting of the crucifixion. And then he went away to get some tea, but he came back again. Throughout the afternoon, he went away and kept coming back again to this painting of Jesus on the cross. Eventually, it got to 5:30 in the afternoon, and the bell went for people to leave the art gallery. But this man stood there, and when the attendants were going around, they started doing the usual thing, coughing and coughing and coughing, trying to draw their attention to this man, as it was now going home time. But still, he stood there. And one of the attendants decided they would have to ask him to leave. As they got near him, they noticed there were tears coming down from his eyes, and his lips were moving. And when they got beside the man, they heard him say over and over again, "For me, for me." At the end of our pilgrimage together, in our shared Holy Week services, we gather around this evening at the foot of the cross. And as we look at Jesus there and realize that this is a victorious face that is now presented before us, and it gives us a glimpse of the victorious face of God, can you and I this evening respond in a similar way to that man in the art gallery by saying, "For me, for me"? We cannot separate Good Friday and Easter. Good Friday would have been the devil's field day if it had not been for the resurrection. Evil would have had succeeded. However, God was at work, frustrating the work of evil people. A new chapter was already beginning. Already, the first light of Easter morning was beginning to dawn. As we will experience very shortly in the Tenebrae service, when the lights are dimmed, and one by one, as the candles are extinguished, we will come to the point of nothingness, of complete and utter darkness. And then, in that darkness, the Christ candle will be relit, flickering on its own in the darkness of this church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said just before he was executed, "This is the end, for me, the beginning." On this Good Friday, we remember the end of life. This end is also a beginning of a new life for all of us, in relationship with the God who created us, redeemed us, and loves us beyond measure. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy and loving God, as we listen to the passion of your Son and hear of how your disciples scattered, deserting you, denying you, we recognize ourselves. We have sometimes turned away from your presence or failed to follow you with our whole heart. For the times we have lacked the desire or courage to respond to your call, Lord, have mercy. As we listen to the passion of your Son and hear the selfish maneuvering of those who sought to use power, influence, and violence to get their own way, we recognize ourselves. For the times we have sought revenge or wished harm upon our competitors or rivals, Lord, have mercy. As we listen to the passion of your Son and hear the profound injustice, the abuse of power, and the insults and mocking taunts that our Lord faced, we pray for all those who are today weighed down by pain and injustice. Help the lonely and betrayed, the suffering and the dying, to find strength in the companionship of Jesus. And help us by your Holy Spirit to be willing to respond to your call to support those in need. As we listen to the passion of your Son and hear the way that our Lord faced betrayal, rejection, taunts, and suffered a humiliating and cruel death, that we might know your redemption and might know that you are with us and for us, may we be amazed by the depth of your commitment and love for all the world and for us and for me. Thank you for the gift of this time that we have to share with one another, gathered in your name. Open our ears and our hearts to what each of us may need to hear this night. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. We join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
seated. Following the reading, at the end of the service, I invite you simply in silence to make your way from the church. The lights will now be dimmed.
It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people." And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was that ointment wasted like that?" For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, And they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same.
And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And they led Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.' Yet even about this their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, 'Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?' But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' And the high priest tore his garments and said, 'What further witness do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?' And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, 'Prophesy!' And the guards received him with blows." And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began saying to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. Then, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed.
Now, at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather than a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put on his own clothes, and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So all the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the 6th hour, there was darkness over all the land until the 9th hour. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God."